In the first book of the Bible, we find the story of God creating man in his image and in his likeness. And the purpose of God was that he might have a meaningful relationship and fellowship with man. But in that first book of the Bible, we find that man departed from that relationship with God. He chose to rebel against the commandment of God and thereby left that fellowship with God. The Bible is the story of God calling man back to that original intent of God, into the ultimate intention for man's existence. Man was created that he might know the blessing, the glory of living in fellowship and in harmony with God. And so throughout the Bible, we have the story of God calling man back from the place from which he had fallen. God seeking to restore man back into his image, back into his likeness from which man had fallen. And so it is interesting that here at the end of the story, the last book of the Bible, the last invitation of God in the Bible is again for man to come back into fellowship with him. Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him who is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And so this marvelous book ends with God's invitation to you to come back to God, come back into fellowship with God, to be restored to the ultimate intention of man. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Today, the Spirit of God is in the world calling men to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I ascend unto the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so the Spirit of God speaks to men, calling men to come to Jesus Christ and reproving them of that which keeps them from coming, of sin. It is sin that has separated us from God. And so he reproves us of sin. He convicts us of sin in order that the barrier that holds man from God might be removed. The Spirit is calling us to a better life, to life on the highest plane. But also it says the bride says, come. This is the bride of Christ. You see, it is the mission of the church to bring God's invitation to the world. Jesus told his disciples that they were to go out into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. What is the good news? That God loves man. God does not want man to perish. God created man for himself and for fellowship. But man, by rebelling has alienated himself from God, and thus we see the misery, we see the pain, we see the sorrow that has filled the earth in which we live. But God wants man to know the joy of fellowshipping with him, the good news. And God provided the way by which man can come back into fellowship. And so we are the bearer of the message. And the bride says, come. The invitation to the world through the church is to come unto God through Jesus Christ. Jesus commissioned us to bring this message to all the world. And then he said, let him that heareth say, come. You see, once you have heard the message of God's love, once you have received the forgiveness, once you've experienced the wonder and the joy of walking in fellowship with God, then you also give the invitation out to your family, to your friends, to those around you. The door is open. God has opened the door. Come. And then he goes on to say, let him that is thirsty come. Through the prophet Isaiah, God said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He that has no money, come, receive. And then he asked the question, why do you labor and spend your money for that which cannot satisfy? What a picture this is of our world today. People pursuing after happiness. People pursuing for that which is going to make them feel complete and fulfilled. And you think of the fact that people are laboring and spending their money for that which cannot satisfy. And the Lord asked the question, why do you spend your money for those things that can't satisfy? Oh, they have a promise of satisfying. And the merchandisers would have you to believe that it will satisfy. And how many things people go into debt for? They are laboring, and if you will stop and look at the things that you are spending your money on, so many of those things are designed in our minds to satisfy that thirst that we have within. If I only had, then I would be happy, and you fill in the blank. If I only possessed, fill in the blank, then I would be satisfied. I would be fulfilled. And the Lord is saying, why is it that you labor and you spend your money for the things that cannot satisfy? God said, listen carefully, hearken unto me. Because God is promising the good life. A life that is overflowing, a life that is fulfilling. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He didn't come to take away, but he came to give to you. The only thing that he'll take away from you are those things that are destroying you. Those things that will lead to eventual sorrow, pain, and death. And because of his love for you, he'll free you from those things. But the interesting thing, as far as I'm concerned, is the way he so often frees us from those things is to give us so much more, we don't even think of those things anymore. The kingdom of heaven likened to a man going through a field and discovering a treasure, and who for the joy thereof immediately goes out and sells all that he has in order that he might buy the field and obtain the treasure. And oh, the glorious treasure that we have in Jesus Christ and the joy of this treasure in him. Paul the apostle said, all of those things that were once gained to me, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, but I count them as refuse that I might know him and be found in him, the great and glorious treasure that we have in Jesus Christ. So rich, so fulfilling, so satisfying that those other things that we were once trying to find fulfillment in, they just have fallen off. They're no longer a consideration. John tells us that at the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood. There were thousands of people gathered there in the Temple Mount. And he cried to all those within his hearing, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus giving the invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Here is Jesus giving the invitation to whom? To those that are thirsty. Come to me, he said, and drink. Jesus was talking not about a physical thirst, nor even an emotional thirst. He was talking about that universal thirst deep down within the spirit of man, that thirst for God. The thirst that David spoke about when he said, as a deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. And that's the thirst that Jesus was talking about, that thirst that man has, every man has, for the living God. The problem is that man is trying to satisfy that thirst with physical experiences or emotional experiences, physical possessions, emotional experiences, which cannot satisfy. As God said, why do you labor and spend your money for that which cannot satisfy? God is offering freely to fill that void in your life, to make your life rich and overflowing. It comes from a relationship with God, walking in fellowship with God. And so Jesus is inviting men to come to him and drink. Only by coming to him can that thirst be quenched. Men can find temporary experiences. They are known as escapes, whereby he is not really bothered so much by the inner thirst. The first few weeks that you have that new sports car that you've been dreaming about all your life. The first few weeks as you're driving it, you feel you've arrived. The thirst is now satisfied. I'll never need or want anything again as long as I live. This is it. And there is that temporary sense of fulfillment. But as Jesus said to the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. It will not be a lasting satisfaction. It is only a matter of time until you are saying, well, if I only had a supercharger on the engine, then I would really be happy. I could take anybody on the road. And it goes from one thing to another, and ultimately, it loses its luster, it loses its excitement, and you find that down deep, the thirst is still there, and you're now pursuing something else in hopes that it will satisfy the deep thirst that is in the spirit of man for a meaningful relationship with God. You cannot help it. That's the way God created you. For the creature is subject unto emptiness, and that by the design of him who created him. God put that emptiness there, and only God can fill that emptiness that is within a person's life. That void that you have can only be filled by a meaningful relationship with God. And so God speaks about the thirst that every man has experienced, that thirst for the sense of fulfillment, joy. But what is the declaration? Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. No charge. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, buy, drink. He that hath no money, let him come. I'm so glad that God didn't put a charge on salvation. That God offers to us freely to drink of that satisfying portion. Note the invitation is to all of mankind. Whosoever will, let him come. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would not perish. I like that word, whosoever. When I was a child in church, they used to sing that song, whosoever surely meaneth me. I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away, for the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me. God's invitation is to whosoever. It's an open invitation to all man, to all of mankind. God does not exclude any from the invitation, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God desires that man who departed from him there in the garden might come back into fellowship with him. And God made the provisions whereby this could be accomplished. The thing that created the breach between God and man was man's rebellion against God's commandment. To exercise my will against the will of God is sin. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They exercised their will against the will of God, and that was sin. And sin, by its nature, separates you from God, from fellowship with God. The word fellowship is a interesting word that we really don't have a true English equivalent. It means a oneness, a communion, a unity. And so God is calling you into a unity with Himself, a closeness of relationship where you are one. Now, if you are living in rebellion against God, if you are living in sin, you can't be one with God. Sin breaks your fellowship with God. Isaiah the prophet said, God's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, or God isn't deaf. God's arm is not short that he cannot save. But your sins have separated you from God. What the prophet is saying is the problem isn't on God's side, the problem's on your side. It's your sin that has separated you from God. Now God, because he wants fellowship, has provided for your sin to be forgiven. In the Old Testament times, God provided that an animal could be sacrificed to cover your sin, the guilt. You see, God had said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He's talking about spiritual death or this alienation from God. And because that is the sentence that God pronounced upon sin, if you are guilty of sin, there has to be the means of forgiveness of those sins on a just basis. In other words, the penalty of death has to be evoked. God provided that a man could come and bring a lamb or a goat or an ox, and he could place his hands upon the head of that lamb, and he could confess his sins and in a sense transfer the sins onto the animal. And the animal then was slain, the blood placed upon the altar, and the animal became a substitute for the man. The animal died for the man. And God would accept that as a covering for the sin, and man could then sit down and fellowship with God. But you go out and you sin again, you got to bring another animal. And it was a continuing process. But then God sent his only begotten Son to be a sacrifice for sin. As John, when he saw Jesus, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And rather than having to offer sacrifices over and over again, once and for all, Jesus became the sacrifice for us and for our sins. And God has transferred our guilt and our sins onto him. All we like sheep, we had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but God laid on him the iniquities of us all. And when Jesus died, he paid the penalty and the price for our sin once and for all. In order that we might come back into fellowship with God, in order that we might become one with God again and thus be fulfilled body, mind, and spirit fully fulfilled. So God made the provisions whereby we can have the water of life freely, because he offered his son who paid the price freely. That is freely to us. It wasn't free to God. It cost a tremendous price to give to you the water of life. While Jesus was here on earth, he went around inviting men to come. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." What a wonderful promise. So often Satan will lie to a person and will say, "God's not interested in you. You've gone too far. Your sins are too bad. God doesn't care for you." And he lies to them in order to keep them from coming. But we have the wonderful promise of Jesus that whoever will come to him, he will in no wise cast out. "All," he said, "that the Father hath given me." And "all" in the Greek means all. All that the Father has given to me. His promise is to receive you, no matter how heinous your sin might be. Jesus also said that no man can come to the Father but by me. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." There are those who say, "Well, all roads lead to God." The question is, what God? You see, the Bible acknowledges that there are many gods. That is, things that people worship. Things that are the master passion of a person's life. But there is only one true and living God, the Creator, who has revealed himself in the Bible. And there is only one way to that God, and that is through Jesus Christ, to the true and the living God. No man comes to the Father, he said, but by me. This morning, God is calling men into fellowship with himself, offering to them that they might drink and satisfy that deep thirst, find fulfillment in life freely. He's provided the means by which you can come. And now the invitation is being given to you today. Those that are thirsty, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. There's only one thing that can keep you from coming, and that's you. An unwillingness on your part. Otherwise, the door is wide open to all. The invitation is to all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have opened the door and invited us to come and to receive, to drink of the water of life freely. You've offered, Lord, the cleansing and the pardon of our sins. You've offered, Lord, the richness of living with you in fellowship, the blessings, the glory. And Lord, we pray that today those who are thirsty, those who have been spending their labor and their money for the things which did not satisfy that thirst, let them come, Lord, and know the full satisfaction of drinking of the water of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? This morning, our pastors are down here at the front of the church to pray for you and to pray with you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He that hears, let him say, come. He that is athirst, let him come. Drink of the water of life freely. God is freely offering to you the benefits, the blessings, the joys of having your sins forgiven and living in fellowship with him. Yours for the receiving, but receiving is necessary. It's not yours until you've received it. And so we invite you today again to come. The bride of Christ, we are the bride, we are inviting you to come. Find the thirst quenched by a relationship with God through Jesus. May the Lord be with you and may he keep and bless you. And may you know the joy and the richness of just living in fellowship with God this week. May you experience his love, his closeness to you. May he manifest to you in different ways his love for you, that you might rejoice and be blessed, knowing that God is with you. Watching over, keeping.